roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Sin City, Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host. What's up, Goz?
What up?
Not much, man. March is almost over. It's March 30th. And we kind of have an outline of the real world, you know, outside of MMA, of what's going to happen. President Trump said basically that he's extended, I guess, the deadline of when we all should abide by the guidelines that are out there. You know, I don't want to call it stay at home. I don't want to call it a quarantine because everybody's calling it something different, and basically everything's different. But all that's going out till April 30th. So this will kind of be how we roll for the next at least 31 days. And, you know, there's really not much to go over in terms of the competitive world. However, there is some news out there, technically, to give some love to Submission Underground. They threw an event. We'll talk about that. So there'll be a few things to cover. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's buckle up, folks. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Podcast on a Monday, March 30th. Well, it goes, you know, I don't want to start off with politics, but the only reason I do is because basically, however Trump rolls in terms of federally what he wants to do, it kind of limits what the UFC can do in the United States, at least. You know, everybody talks about these rumors of Native American land or, I believe, 12 miles off the coast of, you know, the East Coast or off the shores of America. It becomes international waters. And then, of course, there's foreign countries in which you can go do your thing at, right? So that applies to, I guess, the big UFC 249 mystery, which, as of the last taping, all we knew was Dana White had locked down his location, 99.99% sure. He just didn't reveal it. And all weekend, I kept hitting refresh on MMA Junkie, and our editors and writers and everybody on the team is hustling, but I don't see anything in regards to that one other than odds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the rumors were Florida, Abu Dhabi. I think there was a small chance of maybe Russia or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. These
they should have put Antarctica, by the way. It just would have been funny.
Just for the hell of it. Mm-hmm. But this last announcement that Donald Trump made has made things very, very difficult.
Right.
And now Khabib, who is in Russia, he's kind of undergone some travel restrictions as well. And
as of today, I believe.
Yeah. And so basically he's saying my name may be out of the hat here. And the UFC has said they're going to just move on without me. Which, at that point, that opens up very few options. The first guy that you would think of is Justin Gaethje because, I mean, the dude is tough. He probably deserved to be there anyway.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't take late fights.
He doesn't. But here's the thing. He's been waiting for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And it then does guarantee him the shot at Khabib, though, if he beats Tony. Because I imagine this would be for an interim. That's the only way I'd do it.
Yeah. It does do that. So he hasn't fought in a long time. He hasn't collected a paycheck. And on top of that, now he'd have to wait even longer. So let's just say coronavirus didn't exist. He still would have had to wait way more than he's comfortable waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Now with coronavirus, now you don't even know when you're going to have a chance. So if there's ever a time for him to take a short notice fight, it's probably this one, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, I don't know if they would make, I mean, maybe under the circumstances of what the world is going through, they might suggest that, but really, Khabib defended in September. Khabib's not at fault here. I don't believe, depends on his communication with the UFC and what their side of things is, because he left AKA because he couldn't get the adequate training. Where he lives is very remote in Dagestan. And I think there was just going to be easier to, you know, do his own thing and not put AKA at risk. And by that, I mean not just the health of the fighters and coaches, just basically I think things are a lot stricter here in America when it comes to that. And, you know, there's a lot of authorities that are going around to different businesses and shutting them down because you can't congregate more than 2, 5, 10, whatever your local government has ruled. And so he flies to Russia, but he was given about, this was last Friday, where I think Putin, the president of Russia, had said that they were going to suspend all travel out of Russia. And Khabib and the UFC have the means that if they really wanted to, they could have got him out of the country, mm-hmm. at least back to the United States, where they could figure out what was going to happen. Now, look, folks, all this said, we're still like, what, 20 days away from the actual date? And if we go back 20 days, goes, we're at March 10th. Don't quote me on this one, but just off the top of my head, at this point, the United States hadn't been ravaged the way it had, and cities weren't under these strict quarantines. So imagine if that happened in 20 days. And 20 days ago, you and I were, March 10th, the UFC had just happened. I was just hanging out with fans and other media members and fighters, you know, because UFC had gone down already, you know, on March 8th. On March 7th, you and I were at Billy Idol. So imagine all that changed in 20 days going forward, what could happen the way this pandemic has throttled us.
Mm-hmm. That's what's so crazy. Like, just as individuals, what I've been telling people is maybe create some short-term goals that would make you happy, but don't focus on long-term, because everything is changing from day to day that you're just going to frustrate yourself. But in the case of the UFC, they can't do anything but set a long-term goal, because that fight, like you said, even though it's about 20 days away, it feels like 120 days or something. Or, I mean, at times it feels like it's 10 hours away. It's mm-hmm. just everything keeps moving so quickly. So this is really weird. And I don't know. See, I know that Dana White's been coy as far as the location and all that. And I'm sure the fighters and the managers maybe know a little bit more. But I bet you they don't know that much more than we do. And so I don't know if this playing coy has come back to bite him in the ass a little bit, maybe. Because when you hear Khabib talk on Instagram, like, he seems just as confused as everybody else.
Yeah, in fact, right here, this article clears it up here on Junkie. So he did leave to the United Arab Emirates, where Abu Dhabi is located, because he was told that 99.9% that was where it was going to happen. So he's kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit. And then I guess they had the same strict policies, where they were saying, with the exception of residents, they wouldn't be able to leave or fly in. They were going to be pretty strict. So he decided to go back to Russia because he didn't want to get stuck somewhere where he couldn't live. No disrespect to, you know, the UAE. I'm sure you could stay there for a little while, but if this thing lasts a few months, I could see Khabib's worry there. But without him being directed on where he could go, I can see his frustration. Because I remember Ali Abdelaziz, his manager, had written fake news to somebody who stated that Khabib was still in Russia. Ali was right. He had left Russia. It's just that he came back. All this is happening so quickly, honestly. All right. Well, I think something we suspected all along, UFC 249, probably, I hate to sound like a Monday morning quarterback, but I think a lot of us knew this was going to have to be one hell of a Hail Mary if it hit.
I mean, according to Khabib, it seems like they're just going to march on forward and continue with this card. But I don't know. I mean, remember, we all thought this was going to be a one-off, right? Just one fight. Then Dana was very clear about, I'm actually trying to put together a main card.
All-star card, whole thing. Said, yeah.
Then that turned into, yeah, an all-star card.
I think he was thinking
card.
About Ngannou and Rozenstruik and a few of the others that, mm-hmm. that got pulled off of, you know, some of these fight cards. Maybe Woodley gets a new opponent.
So we may actually get this fight or this card, just not this fight. And that's what's
I don't think we're
going to
get the card
about
now.
That. You don't think so? Because you can. No, what they need to do is make money.
All these travel restrictions. I mean, again, I guess now we're back on the Native American soil thing. Because leaving the country, I don't know about that one. I don't know. Look, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how to approach what I want to say. Selfish Gigi, who works for USA Today and MMA Junkie, and we cover this sport. Of course we need our jobs, and our jobs function when events take place. There's tons of news, but nothing bigger than these two guys or gals are about to fight, you know, or in 2 months, these two guys and gals, it's been announced they're going to fight, or last weekend, these two guys and gals just fought. Whatever it is, that's the meat and potatoes. This other news, okay, yeah, you know, sorry to hear about John Jones. I think I even jokingly said, we need someone to fuck up, you know, just to have that type of traffic, you know. I didn't want all that, but regardless, that's the selfish part of me that if they pull it off, I guess I am. I'm covering the mic and I'm going, fuck yeah, hell yeah, you know, because I know we got work. We get to do sportscaster. We get to watch athletic competition of some sort. But
the division is unclogged.
Yeah, you're right. Because that division, folks, don't forget, if Habib doesn't fight, 1 week later, Ramadan starts. Habib will observe that no matter what. And then his body's going to go through so much changes that it's not like he can just fight in June. Let's say the pandemic is over. He can't fight just in June or July. It takes a little bit of recovery to come out of that and then reset and do the whole camp again. So now we start looking at probably August or September, maybe July, I guess, if Habib and the UFC really, really pushed it. But the selfish part of me, you know, I guess, sure, trudge ahead. Okay, we'll cover it. And then the part that has a heart, I'm like, oh, what are we doing here, man? Lives are being lost at heavy numbers. We don't even know where we're at as a country. You know, we do this show Mondays and Thursdays, and it seems like every Monday or Thursday there's something yet different to report. I mean, we've surpassed Italy in the amount of people that are infected. Mm-hmm. And luckily we haven't surpassed them in the amount of deaths. But then you hear stuff goes like 15% of the city of New York has tested positive for the cops. They're out sick. And then 51 doctors in Italy have died. What the fuck, man?
I know. Look, man, I have a feeling that he's in this far. When I say he, I say Dana White.
He's still trying to put it on?
I think he's going to make it happen, okay. Whether it's a bare minimum, whether it's an all-star card of whatever's left. But I think he's going to try and put this event on. And honestly, I think a lot of it comes down to ego. Just the fact that he said nothing's going to stop him and he's going to do it. He's just backed into a corner, and I think he'll figure out a way to do it.
Man,
maybe not the main event of Habib and Tony Ferguson, but some sort of card.
You said something the other day about tough, and I think you had an idea of they should just have a tough season right now because they'd be quarantined, right? And mm-hmm. I don't think the UFC'd get faulted there as long as they test clean. But I was watching a little bit of Submission Underground, and it just had that tough feel, which is cool, but it doesn't compare to UFC pay-per-view. You just need the fans and the announcers, and I don't know, man. I mean, I guess I waited this long for Habib and Tony, and I guess I have to wait a few months if this thing passes and we can get back to normal life in a few months. I think that's something I have just always wanted. Because, come on, man. I mean, countries aren't letting people in and out of them. There's a story about Aaron Rodgers who went to Peru with Danica Patrick, his girlfriend, the former car racer, mm-hmm. and some groups of friends. They got out of the airport in Lima, which you and I have been in many times, by 15 minutes because the president of Peru said, at this day, at 11:59, no other plane can take off. So midnight was his hard cutoff, right? He said he got out with 15 minutes left. Otherwise, he'd be still in Peru. Which, hey, Aaron, you missed out. Great food, great people. But I get it, you know. And they had a private plane, goes. It's not like they were on Delta 8609 flight number or American or LATAM or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's like I said, day by day, everything. Like, for instance, the other day when we signed off from doing this show, the John Jones stuff hadn't even come out yet. You know what I'm saying? It's like every single day, the landscape of our sport has been changed.
So let's talk about John Jones.
Is it?
Where do you stand? Did you watch all that footage, the raw footage too, of
The body cam?
The body cam, and you know, Simon Simano and Matt Erickson, two of our editors, were kind of breaking down and picking up on things that a lot of people didn't. I don't think I did at first. I remember hearing a couple things. I remember him having an issue with the cuffs.
Yeah.
And then I remember him being very respectful and starting to break down a little bit. But exactly what he was saying, I missed out on. And so I went read back. And I guess when I was seeing it, I might get laughed at here, but I felt bad. I felt bad that that John Jones that was actually thinking of his family, unless you or anyone else is going to convince me, it was all a fucking act. You might be able to at this point. But I felt like at that point, that John Jones, raised by a preacher and what seemed to be a nice lady before she passed away, really just realized he messed up, and that was actually him talking like a human being like you and I. Of course, going out and getting drunk and allegedly shooting off a cap, I mean, no good, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you feel about it all?
I think that dude needs a lot of help, but I think the fact that he's in this spot again comes down to just selfishness. You know, a lot of people say he's sick, and yeah, that is a form of sickness, but there is a lot of selfishness involved in this.
Because, right, break it down for me.
Because there's a lot of people that have been in this same situation, and they have been able to pull themselves out of it with smaller resources. The money, not enough money to go to rehab, things like that, right? Where family have come in and helped save, friends have lifted you up. And for him to be in this situation, like you said, thinking of your family, just the fact that he's out, you know, in the middle of a quarantine at this hour doing the things he's doing, it's just a selfish thing for him to be doing. And so basically he got caught again. And now he's back in the situation.
I think it goes beyond that. Here's what I think. I think he was at home, quarantined like all. Look, we've had four Tecate beers in that fridge for a while now. You and I don't sauce like every night. I mean, we're not even weekend saucers, honestly. I guess we'd say, hey, when the friends want to roll and go somewhere, great, it's on. I mean, we can have 20 of those cans, no big deal, or shots. We're not against that, folks. But I just don't really, I don't know. I'm trying to watch my weight. I don't need those calories. But anyway, I think he just has it in him, goes with a lot of friends that we have that we could drop their names right now. They start saucing and they become someone else. And that someone else, you can't stop them from getting their keys because they just will deal with the consequences, I guess, or whatever. So I hear what you're saying on the selfishness, but his damn problem was that first drop of alcohol. He should just not have it. He just should never have it because when he does, it alters his decision making. You know what I mean? Now, had he done that sober, then I'd go, oh, look at this fucking guy. Look at the ego on this guy to go out and just shoot something and, you know, or shoot a bullet for whatever reason. But I think all that stemmed from the alcohol.
I think if you're a guy that needs a gun, that gun is probably always in that car somewhere. You know, so I think it just starts right there. Why the hell do you have that? And then once you have it, why do you feel the need to shoot it off in the air?
Well, he's got a collection of them. I think he's licensed and trained to shoot them. And I don't know if he's got the concealed carry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So for his protection, I'll give him that pass. Not that he doesn't need protection unless someone else has a gun. You know, you can't bring your finger to a gunfight. But, did you feel bad for him at all when you saw the body cam?
Yeah,
did
you feel for him? It's like, hard not to feel sorry for somebody that when they're going through that. But when you really break it down and you realize why are they there and what are their means to get better? Are there people around them that can help him? He has all of that. He has more.
He
has more than I do to get my, if I were in his situation, he has more resources to get him out than I do. What it really comes down to is just that drive inside of a person
leaves,
to get
does
better.
He think, oh, I can't be caught? Because he's been caught.
I think there's a piece of that.
And he's been arrested. It's not like he can leave the house and go, the cops will never arrest me. I'm John Jones. No, they've arrested him. So I think he just is in a state of mind where he's so fucked up, he doesn't even know what he's doing. So then it begs, have you heard the people that say on the comment section of YouTube or our stories or wherever, where they go, dude, just pay some kid $50,000 a year and he'll be your driver. You think that kid's going to stop him?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think John Jones, let's say that guy was Cato Caitlin. It's the only guy I can think of that lives in a little outhouse, a casita. And his job's to be the driver. And he's got all the keys. John Jones goes back there and pounds on the door. And then you go, what's up? And he goes, we're going out. And then you go, man, you sure this is the quarantine? Yeah, you work for me or whatever. All right. Yeah, I guess or whatever. But if let's just say there is no quarantine and let's just say that guy or let's just say that guy says, no, we're not because we could be jailed or whatever. You think that guy's going to stop John Jones from grabbing his keys?
No, but maybe he can contact somebody that can. If I had that problem as your brother, do you think I can really make it down these stairs right past you, grab my keys and go out without you either saying something, trying to stop me? Or if you can't stop me, find someone that could.
Meaning
like, cops? Would you just go, all right, and just let me go? Probably not, right?
Meaning cops, though? Who's going to stop them?
Well, you would know how to tug on. The first thing you would probably do is either pick up, call the phone, call mom or dad.
Yeah.
Or call Laura. Or call Rodney. Or call somebody. If you can't get through to me, you'd probably say, if I can't do it, then somebody else has. But I just don't see a scenario where you go, all right, I tried. I'm just going to watch SportsCenter. Go out and do your thing.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, if you can't do it yourself, then you have to find people that are willing to do it, that care enough to do it, that know you well enough to know how to stop you. And that's where he's at right now.
Remember, I think Brett Okamoto from ESPN had tweeted something, and it was the final words from the judge to him as he was leaving. Remember when he had the hit and run thing? He said, if you come back here, it's not going to go good. Mm-hmm. Granted, that was 5 years ago, but still. And even the probation that he had for, what was the last thing he had?
Wasn't it the girl?
Yeah, something minor happened. Nah, I shouldn't call it that, but something happened recently.
It's like a video, right? I think
allegedly. Yeah, the strip thing. Yeah, okay, there you go. So that deal, I guess, he just came off probation in January. So he's not on. When you're on probation, it gets heightened. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's still probation from 2015 or what, but that is what the judge said. Look, he was intoxicated. By the way, that field sobriety test, he kind of nailed it from E to P. He just didn't understand what he was saying. So I don't know if he was hard of hearing or the ADD kicked in. But once he got rolling, he did it. And as soon as he did it, the guy goes, turn around, I'm going to arrest you. So I guess it must have just been the alcohol or whatever.
Yeah, the foot in front of the foot thing too. Yeah. And
anyway,
a lot of those are just meant, like, sorry if I'm breaking down the secrets here, but a lot of them are just meant to trick you. You know, when they say do the alphabet, sometimes they say do it backwards. The only point of that is a lot of people will say, man, I couldn't even do that if I were sober. Mm-hmm. Stupid shit like that, mm-hmm. You know? That's all that is.
Yeah. Well, look, he went in there and they bailed him out and he'll have a court date and I don't know what's going to go down. How do they even do court, I guess, nowadays? Everything's suspended, right? Imagine if you were up for
to a certain extent, a
case, either going in or going out. I wonder if you're jumping up and down or not. This is crazy. It's crazy that John Jones is even there. He just can never touch alcohol again. Who knows if he was under the influence of anything else,
mm-hmm.
But he just can't. I have a lot of buddies that you just can't stop them. You just can't stop. I mean, you can physically. I guess you could get behind them, choke them out. Really, really hide the keys, but
I have one buddy that could have
taxied or Ubered home and then just grabbed a spare set, come back, get in his car. Hopefully by then he will have like figured out, okay, I'm fucked up here. What am I doing? But that so many of them are just programmed to, you can't stop them, you know, unless you really want to get in an altercation or take it there. Early prediction. I won't hold you to this. Neither one of us are legal experts, but what happens here?
I think as time amounts.
The state of New Mexico versus John Jones, what happens?
State of New Mexico, I think he's going to have to do some jail time.
Okay.
Weeks,
months, years?
Months. Okay. I think. Maybe like 9 months or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't think the UFC will strip him right away, but I think eventually we're going to get to the point where they probably have to. Who knows? Because, you know, this whole quarantine thing.
They got
to
let it all play out.
Setting everything back anyway.
Yeah.
So if nobody's going to fight, then what does it make sense to even strip somebody? But I think eventually they probably will get to that point. So, yeah.
If everything was normal and the state did say 6 to 9 months, do they still strip them?
I think so. Me yeah, too, you have yeah. to.
And Blachowicz and Santos and Reyes, they're all like, hey, mm-hmm. what's going on? You know, yeah. those three got to figure it out. Which two deserve it?
I'm going to reserve that for something later.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with, should I reserve it for something later too? Or should I state mine now? Okay. All right. Let's give one.
Right.
Who for you?
For me, I'll just give you a hint. For me,
yeah,
it's the two people that have come the closest to beating him. I think that's the fairest way to do it at this time.
That have come closest to beating John?
Yeah.
Oh, meaning Reyes and Santos. Because Blachowicz. How about the take? Well, Blachowicz hasn't even fought him yet.
True. Yeah, but.
They tried and came up short.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to go with that one. All right, and then I'm going to say that, yeah, if times were normal, I'm pretty sure they strip him and they let him figure out his old mess and they just get one of these light heavyweights to bang, man. To bang, bro. Oh, man. All right. Look, there's a little bit of tidbits here and there, but of note, I guess the last thing I want to cover here goes, look, all the fighters want to fight. They seem to be unanimous there. I think only Conor McGregor is doing a lot of PSAs on behalf of country of Ireland and telling people respect authorities, stay home. He's lost an aunt to COVID-19. Maybe hits him differently. Plus, he's got a ton of money. He could sit out the next 2 years if he wanted to. But the only other thing I wanted to say was Joe Rogan said if this thing goes down, it's going down without him. Now, he doesn't do international travel. So more than likely, that was his reference to, well, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't fly to Abu Dhabi anyway if there was no pandemic. But there was still a little bit of concern as a family man when he discussed this. Did you catch any of that? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a very responsible and thing.
He's got money.
He doesn't have to.
And he stood up to Dana White before, but respectfully, and Dana loves Joe and Joe loves Dana. He may be one of those that has the pull to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I applaud him for that. He doesn't have to. And like you said, there's a good chance that he wouldn't have had to anyway. But it's a very responsible thing. Unfortunately, in our sport, there are fighters that just don't have the money to do that. And so I think they understand what Joe's saying and they probably agree to him to a certain extent. But they just can't do that. You know, and I think that's why you get this mentality of let's put on the fights. And I understand it, but I like what Joe did. I applaud him for that.
Valentina Shevchenko was slamming John Jones supporting him, sorry.
Yeah.
She was slamming those that were slamming John. And, of course, Izzy had a pop at him. Colby Covington, a few others. Where did you stand on all that?
I don't think
Valentina's his best friend. I know they shared a moment because they were on the same card, and they probably said some nice things about each other. I get that part. Maybe she met his kids. I don't know. But I was not shocked to see the other ones rein in the digs.
I think a lot of people just say, you know, it sucks to kick a man while he's down. But I'll give you an example. If this were George St. Pierre that this happened to, I don't think people would kick him. They'd probably say, come on, champ, you could turn your life around. We've all kind of been through that with John Jones. And then John Jones on his side can be arrogant. You know, he likes to talk a little smack to his opponent. So once you kind of enter the game, as we call it, you better be sure you have no skeletons in the closet because it's a free-for-all.
All bets are off.
Yeah. Like, I mean, someday somebody's going to say something horrific. I mean, people already do it to Colby Covington. But Covington knows that because he plays the game. He's, you know, Chael Sonnen, same thing. Those guys know once they enter that battlefield, there's no turning back. There's no rules in this. People are going to take shots. And so that's why I give the example of St. Pierre. He just didn't do these type of things. So when that happens to him, I think a lot of people become supportive. But when it keeps happening over and over again, that's when people start taking shots.
I feel like what you described is almost like the world's biggest maze. And you, when you walk in there, you know, the game that you called it, you're walking in there, the lights are off, you're in a maze. There's kind of one way out on the other side unless you retrace your steps. And they give you, remember that big Q-tip that they would give you on American Gladiators? And all you can do is just whack people or they whack you back, you know? If you have good sense of smell or the feel that someone's around the corner, maybe you can hammer somebody. But otherwise, that's just your life until you come out of the maze, right? Meaning retirement. Or if you go back, you're like, hey, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I found God. Who knows? But other than that, whack away.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot of stuff to film today. Check out our other series. Video series that we've launched in the last 6 months, the Spinning Back Click. We'll definitely be working on that here in a couple hours with John Morgan and Ken Hathaway. Rankings report is suspended. There really are no rankings to look at. We can't even pull people out. We can't penalize them for not fighting in the last 2 years because how can we hold that against them? There's been no events. Although most people have been pretty active lately, I will tell you that. And as far as the Off Guard series, that's suspended too because we're not running around town catching people off guard. But what we are doing is putting up video interviews. Officially, I guess, our first one was Misha Tate, right, Goes? Was that the first one we did?
Our first one, yeah, that might have been it.
From the series of the new studios here in Las Vegas.
And we'll have more guests on
and
the show.
And we've done some audio.
We had James Vick on the show.
Yeah, we included him on audio. Part of him on, wait, did all of them went up on audio? There's a King Mo that's just separate from Junkie Radio.
Right, we had King Mo the week before.
Yeah, so check out those spots where you'll see just audio interviews conducted that don't appear on this show. You know, this show's obviously structured so that Goz and I can banter back and forth. But follow us on Twitter. I'm the same as this Goz on Twitter and Instagram and the radio show as well. It's @MMAJunkieGeorge for me, @MMAJunkieRadio for the show, @TheGoz for Goz. And we will see you all on Thursday for another edition of the MMA Junkie Radio podcast. Until then, be a champion.